Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a running out of the blessings already in the
pool.
Me a dead. Imagine cause I start a classic of our own. I'm too blessed
to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm in the priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, happier peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Praise the Lord. And welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. And we have been studying having faith in the midst of trouble. Having faith in the midst of trouble. Our subtopic for tonight is the Ananias and Sapphira sting. The Ananias and Sapphira sting. Why don't you pray with me as we begin our lesson for this evening. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We magnify your name. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us together again for another Bible study. I thank you, Lord, for this time of fellowship that we are able to get together to learn about Jesus more and more and to understand fully the purpose and plan that you have for our lives. I pray for all those that are listening to this Bible lesson that they will be blessed. Father, I pray for nations that are still seeking to worship you and praise you, for mothers and fathers and children, oh God. We pray for aunties and uncles and grandmothers and grandfathers. Lord, all those that are seeking your face, we pray for those in persecuted countries, Lord, that are unable to worship the Lord Jesus Christ freely. We pray for them, oh God, that you would truly remember them and encourage and strengthen them. Lord, we pray for governments that are not allowing the people to worship God, that you would change those governments and allow the people to be able to freely worship. Lord, we pray that you would bless those in the north, south, east, and west. Oh God, in countries in Asia, Lord, in the Middle East, in Europe. We pray, oh God, for those in India. Lord, we pray for those, Lord, in Australia. Oh God, we pray for those in the northern parts of the world and the southern parts of the world. We pray for those in Central America and in the Caribbean. Father, countries that I have not mentioned, you know who they are. In the African nations, oh God, we know that you are able to touch, that you are able to move and touch the hearts and the lives of those that are seeking your face and seeking to know you more. Father, there are many who are desperate and hungry for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we pray, oh God, that we will not be weary in well-doing, but God, that we will continue, Lord, to reach many for your kingdom. Lord, bless that one that's listening to me right now. You know their prayer requests and you know their heart's desire. And as we get ready, Lord God, to break bread together, to study your word, open up our understanding, oh God. And Father, we just say thanks to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Once again, thank you so much, dear friend, for joining me on tonight. As we get ready to look at the word of God, what I'm calling tonight the Ananias and Sapphira sting. And to understand what happened in Acts chapter 5, we must understand what has been going on in the book of Acts. You see, Jesus left and went back to heaven, and he sent his disciples to wait in Jerusalem, to tarry, to receive the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples and others, you know, women and those who were following with them, went and they waited in the upper room, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they were blessed. And the Bible goes on to tell us about how many were added to the church as Peter got up and preached the gospel. And the Bible also tells us about the fact that miraculous things have been happening in the early church, that many are getting healed and delivered because of the boldness of the preaching of the gospel. And so we arrive at Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, and we see that the early church had been sharing their belongings. They had been given a mandate to trust God for every provision that they needed. And part of trusting God, they decided to sell individual goods to help in propagating or spreading the gospel. In other words, they decided to help one another and to trust God to take care of them individually. So in other words, they knew that if they gave of what they have, that God would give it back to them. Dear friend, many times we are asked to give sacrificially, and sometimes we are afraid to give sacrificially, and we only give a little. But if God lays it on your heart to give sacrificially, don't be afraid to do so. And here we are in Acts chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. The Bible says, "But a certain man named Ananias," and to understand what was going on, let us go back to Acts chapter 4, beginning at the 32nd verse. The Bible says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Dear friend, we're studying the book of Acts, and we're just finishing up the bottom of Acts chapter 4, going into Acts chapter 5. If you have friends who do not have internet and you would like them to listen in on this message, they can call in at 347-215-7267, and they can also listen in on the teaching of this message. Once again, that number is 347-215-7267. The Bible tells us that Barnabas sold what he had and brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet, because the Bible says in verse 34, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessed of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold." So they were doing some type of communal thing where everyone was selling what they had, and they were dividing it up and helping one another so that everyone had their needs being taken care of. And so Barnabas came and he did the same thing. But the Bible tells us in chapter 5, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now, in order for us to fully understand what happened here, we must contemplate and think about what Ananias might have been thinking when he kept that part of it. And so I went on to the Matthew Henry commentary, and I also went on to BibleGateway.com on that commentary also to get some background information as to what was going on. And apparently the commentators are in agreement that Ananias must have doubted the ability of God to take care of him. And so he felt the need to keep part of the money that he had gotten from selling his land. Dear friend, a lot of times when God speaks to our hearts and he tells us, don't worry, I'm going to meet every need that you have, I'm going to provide for you, sometimes we don't believe God. Sometimes we doubt that God is able to do what he says that he can do. And I want to encourage you that if God speaks to your heart and says, don't worry about your mortgage, don't worry about your rent, don't worry about money coming to you to pay your bills or what have you, I want to encourage you to trust God to provide the funding for you to be able to do all the things that you need to do. Don't doubt God. It appears as if Ananias did not fully believe. And so because he did not fully believe that God could meet all his needs after he gave all of his money to the apostles, he kept back part of it. You see, because what they were doing was selling everything that they had and dividing it and giving everyone what they needed. And so there might have been some type of pride also in there, where Ananias did not, he was too prideful to give away all he had. And so he felt the necessity to keep back some of it. So part of it is unbelief, and part of it could be pride. He was too prideful to then go back and ask the apostles to meet his need. And so he decided to keep some of it. And this was a big fat lie that he came and gave part of the portion of this money. And I want you to know that when we lie to the church, or we are not lying to the church, but we're lying to God. And when we try to defraud someone else, we're not doing it to that Christian, but we're doing it to God. You see, because whatever we do as Christians, we should try our best to be honest. Look at verse 3. It says, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. You see, dear friend, people fail to realize that God sees and he knows all. And he can reveal whatever he wants to his servants. You see, Ananias came, and what he should have done is said, I am bringing you a portion of what I made, instead of making it seem as if that's all the money that he made. If he sold the land for 10,000 rubles or whatever it was, he should have said, I sold it for 10, but I'm bringing you 5. But instead, he pretended as if he had only gotten 5. And so, dear friend, because he did that, what he actually did was lie. Peter, having discernment in the spirit, was able to immediately pick up that Ananias was lying. The key here is to remember that we cannot lie to God. Our hearts and everything is open before God. God sees us. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. And he understands our hearts. He knows everything about us. And he sees when we're not telling the truth. Look at verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Now, I don't know how it happened. I don't know whether God just struck him down or whether the man was so shocked that he had a heart attack. But in any case, it was the judgment of God upon him for his sin that he died on the spot. However God allowed it to happen, whether his heart just stopped beating or God just struck him down, however it happened, this man just dropped dead right there. Because in the midst of when we're trusting God to take care of our difficulties, we should never, ever lie to God. We should be faithful and honest in our treatment of other people. And so the Bible says in verse 6, and the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Notice that because it was males handling a man, they were able to wrap him up. They were able to touch his body, wrap him up, and what have you. And so they did. I looked up the burial practices of Jews, and normally there is a grieving process, a ritual of where the family, you know, grieves through a period. They even hire mourners to come and help mourn with the family. So there is a whole ritual that goes along with a burial. But I want you to notice that those rituals were not done with Ananias. They just immediately carried him out, buried him. There was no mourning or anything. Why? Because the people knew that this was the judgment of God. So there was it was not necessary to go through the regular burial rituals. The word that is referred to in this, when they carried him out and buried him, the word that's referred to is the word exepsyxen. 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 And I'm going to also put it on the page, so when you look up the archives of this message, you'll be able to see it on there also. But basically, that word refers to the fact that it was God's judgment upon sin, and that's why they just quickly buried them. And so the Bible tells us in verse 7, and it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Now, can you imagine that no one told the wife that her husband had died 3 hours before? They were so afraid of God's judgment that no one even bothered to tell her, because they were afraid that if they warned her, perhaps they would drop dead too. And so no one warned this woman that her husband had died after he lied to the people of God. And so here she comes 3 hours later. And like I said, I'm calling this message the Ananias and Sapphira sting. You know, this was really a sting. This was a God sting. You know, a regular sting out in the secular world is when they set up something to catch the drug dealers, and they have undercover policemen or women go in and they set up some type of undercover surveillance for them to be able to catch the drug dealers or someone else who's doing something wrong. And so this was really a sting, because Ananias had already died. No one told Mrs. Ananias, Sapphira by name, that her husband had died. And so this was really a setup. It was a sting because, okay, they already got the husband, now they're about to get the wife. So she comes in, you know, prancing, you know, probably fixing her hair, and walks in smiling at them and had the lie on the tip of her tongue. And so verse 7 says, or verse 8 actually, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. So he questioned her again about the price of the land. This was her opportunity to tell the truth. This was her opportunity to say, sir, I cannot tell a lie. That is not what we sold the land for. Had she said that, she would have lived. But because she and her husband had already made up in their minds that they were going to lie about it, then look at what happens next. Verse 9 says, then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. So once again, this was an act of punishment on sin by God, where she immediately fell down. There was no mourning involved, and they took her and buried her next to her husband. And the Bible says in verse 11, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. So remember, the Ananias and Sapphira sting. This husband and this wife planned together to lie about how much they had sold their possessions for. It was not necessary for them to lie. All they had to do was to be honest and say, this is how much we sold it for, this is how much we're giving you. But no, they decided to lie. They wanted to look good in front of all their friends by pretending like they were participating in selling everything and giving it to the church like everyone else. But their friend, it backfired on them, and both of them died. I want you to know that when you are in the midst of trials or temptations, any type of trouble in your life, I want you to learn to have faith in God. Have faith that He is going to take you through this difficulty. Have faith that you are going to survive whatever the test is, whatever the trial is. Have faith that God has already worked out this situation for you. Don't allow the enemy to trick you into doing something wrong. Don't allow the enemy to tempt you into trying to deceive yourself or to deceive God, because ultimately you might be able to deceive yourself, but you cannot deceive God. You might be able to trick the people around you into believing that you're sincerely serving God and that in your heart you're sincerely a Christian, but God can tell the difference, my friend. God can tell whether you are on the right path or whether you are on the wrong path. God can tell whether you're sincere in your praise. He can tell whether you're sincere in your prayer life. He can tell whether you're sincere in telling others about Jesus, or whether you're just doing it so that you can go back and tell people that this is what you have done. God sees all and He knows all, and He requires faithfulness from His people. Ananias and Sapphira were not faithful. They pretended to be faithful. They pretended to be like every other Christian, but in truth, they were very much hypocritical. And I want you to know that God is not pleased with hypocrisy, but He is pleased when we are honest and sincere in our approach to worshiping Him and in loving our neighbor as we love our own self. I want you to be encouraged in knowing that God does love you. He does care about you, and He cares about what you're going through. But what He wants is for you to stand firm in your commitment to Him. Do not allow negative circumstances or situations to turn you away from your true worship, from your true commitment to God, because God is still on His throne. He is still in control. And Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That is Jeremiah chapter 29, the 11th through the 13th verse. The Lord says that His thoughts of us, that they are of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. You see, God's expected end for us is good. He has sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, that we might have life. And when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, the reason why He did it was so that we could get eternal life. And so, dear friend, when you serve God, He gives you that peace and that joy That is your expected end. Your expected end is joy and peace and eternal happiness. Your expected end is to be able to rest in Jesus, to be able to walk around not being burdened down, not being stressed out, not feeling like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, but to walk around knowing that you have the joy of the Lord, that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and that God is still listening to your prayers, and that he truly is answering your prayers. Amen and amen. Oh, come on, give God some praise. Let's just take a praise break. Lord, we bless you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Lord, oh God, for giving us that opportunity to bless you, to praise you, to magnify your name. Lord, we thank you that even in the midst of trials and challenges, that we will not give up. We will not stop praising you. We will not stop trusting you, because we know that whatever we need, you have already provided it for us. Amen and amen to that. Well, let us look at verse 12. The Bible says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one." Now, verse 12 through 16 is very, very interesting, because it tells us the type of prayer life that these disciples had, and the fact that they walked with God. You see, because the things that were happening in their ministry could only happen if they were truly sincere in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that signs and wonders were wrought. The King James Version uses the word wrought, and the word translated in today's vernacular would mean done. So great signs and wonders were done among the people. So the signs and wonders, the things that were happening, were not being done in a back room someplace. It was not being done silently or quietly. It was done out in the open, where they were signs and miracles, people being healed, the same things that Jesus was doing when he was here on earth, that the sick were healed, the dumb spoke, the deaf heard. The same things that Jesus did, these disciples were doing. And the Bible says that they were all with one accord. And the Bible says that the people magnify them. What does that mean? That means that they had good things to say about them. When you are walking with God, when you are sincere in your walk, people will have good things to say about you. They will mention your name. They will say, you know what, this person really loves God, and this person is truly sincere in their walk, because I could see it in the kindness that they show to other people. There's a song that was sung years ago that says, "We will know, they will know that we are Christians by our love, by our love." You know, it's funny that I would remember that song right now, because it seems as if the world cannot fully say that about Christians anymore. Christians are not known for their love as much as they were years ago. And so sometimes people say quite the opposite of Christians. They said that we're not as loving as we should be, and we, you know, don't pay our bills, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. So we've got to do better. We've got to live a life where people can look at us as role models, and they can be encouraged when they see us. They can be encouraged when they see the love that we show towards each other. They can be encouraged when they're around us, or even in our presence. There should be something about us that's different. There should be something about us that lets people know that, wow, There's something that they have that I want. There's something in their smile, something in their very presence. They should be able to feel the anointing when we come around. They should be able to tell that we have been in the presence of God whenever we come around. And if people can't tell that you have been in the presence of God, then, dear friend, that's something that we need to work on. We need to work on praying more. We need to work on seeking the face of God more. We need to work on understanding God's purpose for our life more. If we don't know, if you don't know what God has called you to do, what gifts he has given you to use in his kingdom, seek him and ask him, because he will point it out to you. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Look at that word, multitudes. Multi means many, many. Many were added to the Lord. Notice they weren't added to an individual's organization. They weren't added to an individual's Bible college or whatever. So we are not, when we tell people about Jesus, we're not trying to make a name for ourselves. We are only doing what we are called to do, but our ultimate plan is to give God glory. And so the Bible says multitudes of men and women. Notice women were mentioned. So in other words, women were coming into the faith also, both men and women. What I like about this, it gives us a principle for church growth. A principle for church growth. That principle is that we seek the face of God. We seek to make sure that God gets the glory, and then he adds to the church. And so if we are not seeing new faces coming to our churches, if we are not seeing people being delivered and set free from alcohol and drugs and demonic influence, if we're not seeing them delivered and surrendering their lives to Jesus and coming to church, then that means that we're not doing the right thing. We're not lined up with the Bible, with the Word of God. Because the Bible tells us that these people come. When you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, the people will come. When you're worshiping God, when you're sincere in your heart, in truly magnifying the name of the Lord, the people will come. And the next thing I notice as a mark of this early church being faithful and trusting God, the Bible says that people brought the sick out in the streets, hoping that just the shadow of Peter would heal their sick. Dear friend, even just reading this right now touches my heart to realize that God wants us to walk so close to him that even when people are in our presence, and we haven't even opened up our mouth to say anything to them, they will be blessed. Even when we don't open up our mouth to even read them a scripture or quote them a scripture, just our very presence in the room should change the atmosphere. People around us should know that we're in the room without even having to look around. They should be able to feel and sense the presence of God in the room, in the building, in that town, in that city, in that state. They should know that there are Christians living in their city. They should know that there are Christians living in their little town. They should know that there are Christians in or on that job. Why? Because just your presence in that place should transform the atmosphere, and they should know that you are a believer. they should be coming to you and just wanting to shake your hands, squeeze your hand, be around you. They should want to know more about your God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, just from your very presence. Why? Because they should be able to sense that there's something different about you. There's something different about the glow in your eyes. There's something different about the glow on your expression. There's something different about you that tells me that even though you're living in the same country that is struggling economically, that is having difficulty, your attitude is not the same as those around you. Your attitude is different. There's something different about you, because while everyone else is complaining about everything, your attitude is that of praise, is that of joy, is that of peace. There's something about you that tells me that you spend time in the presence of God, and you are someone that I need to be around. I need to be able to talk to you. How can I talk to you more? How can I get to know you more? Why? Because the God that you serve is the God that I want to serve. I want more of whatever you have. People should want more of what you have. The people brought their sick out in the streets, had them laying out on what they call couches, which were probably some slabs of wood or some type of bedding. They had them out in the street just hoping that Peter's shadow would just fall. Can you imagine wanting to be in the shadow of the Almighty? Amen. Do you know that when you are sincere in surrendering your life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you come under the shadow of the Almighty, and that when he spreads his wings over you, that there is healing in his wings, that there is healing in trusting Jesus, that God is able, Jesus is able to heal your mind, to heal your heart, to heal your emotions, to help you get over some things that you never thought you'd be able to get over, to help you get through some things that you never thought you'd be able to get through. Why? Because you thought that you were going to get stuck in the middle of some mess. You thought that you were going to get stuck trying to figure out your life on your own. But you do not have to do that. You do not have to try to figure out your life on your own. Why? Because the Bible always and already has recorded everything that you need to help you live your life. The Bible is your roadmap to help you, to guide you, to help you to understand that Jesus has your life under control. He has your life in the palm of his hands, and it does not matter what the enemy will bring against you, what he will try to throw in your direction to try to get you sidetracked or distracted or maybe discouraged. It does not matter, because God already has everything under control. And if you would just stay under the shadow of his wings, if you would begin to understand that he is already protecting you, he is already helping you, he is already helping you through this season of your life, that you will come out victorious if you will only believe. You see, if we go back to Ananias and Sapphira, Ananias is the head, or was the head, of his household. And so what he proposed to do, he really was responsible for his wife Sapphira dying, because as the head of his household, he should have done the right thing. He should have made the decision to tell the apostles what he really sold the goods for, but he did not. And so we see that he was punished for his unbelief. God does not want us to have unbelief, dear friend. He wants us to believe God. Do you believe God today? Do you trust him in every area of your life? If you were told today to sell everything and give it, would you trust God enough to do it, knowing that whatever you give to God, that he gives it back to you fourfold? I mean, that your basket will never be empty, that it will always be overflowing. Do you trust God completely? You see, in the midst of all of this, recognizing that we are living in the last days, we must trust God for everything. And dear friend, get prepared, because as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, all types of things are going to happen, and you're going to have to learn how to trust God, because we don't know what is going to happen with the banks. We don't know what's going to happen with the earthquakes in different places and all kind of weird weather patterns that have been happening. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, but what we do know is this, that if we put our trust in God, if we have faith in the midst of trouble, in the midst of everything, that we know that everything is going to be all right. I'm looking at a book by C.H. Spurgeon. It's called Morning by Morning, Meditations for Daily Living. And he has a devotional page here. It says, "Yeah, I've loved thee with an everlasting love," Jeremiah 31, verse 3. And it says, "The Holy Spirit is often pleased to witness with our spirits of the love of Jesus. He takes of the things of Christ and reveals them to us. No voice is heard from the clouds, and no vision is seen in the night. But we have a testimony more sure than either of these. If an angel should fly from heaven and inform the saint personally of the Savior's love to him, the evidence would not be one bit more satisfactory than that which is borne in the heart by the Holy Spirit. Ask those of the Lord's people who have lived the nearest to the gates of heaven, and they will tell you that they have had seasons when the love of Christ toward them has been a fact so clear and sure that they could no more doubt it than they could question their own existence. Yes, beloved believer, you and I have had times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and then our faith has mounted to the height of assurance. We have had confidence to lean our heads on the bosom of our Lord, and we have no more questioned our Master's affection to us than John did when he rested there. Jesus has killed our doubts by the closeness of his embrace. His love has been sweeter than wine to our souls." Dear friend, I want to remind you that when Jesus went back up, or just before he left, he reminded us that he sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to comfort our hearts, to encourage us, to give us that warm embrace that we need, to assure us over and over again that we are not alone in this world, and that whenever we need the comfort and the strength of God, that he is right there to comfort us, to strengthen us, to help us. And if there's ever a time in your life that you feel that there is no help out there for you, I want you to know that your help is already on the way. If you have ever gone bowling and rolled a pin, as sure as that pin is going to go straight for, or I'm sorry, that ball is going to go straight for those pins, rest assured that God has already sent help on the way for you. And I want you to know that although we might sometimes look around and we might say, well, it's not coming fast enough, I want you to know that seasons come and seasons go, but the word of God will stand sure forever. The Bible says that his word will not return unto him void, and that whatever we need, if we would seek the Lord first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you would just seek the face of God, you will understand, and you will be rest assured that everything that you have need of, God has already supplied it. Don't ever feel like you don't have enough, or that God is not more than enough, because he actually is more than enough for your circumstance, more than enough for your situation, and whatever you need, God's got it. God's got it. He has already supplied it. You know, at times we say to sow a seed, and I would encourage you to do that. I remember sowing a seed on my house. A ministry said sow $200, and I actually sent it in. I sacrificially sent it in. And I remember when I sowed that money that everything just turned around. You know, I'm not asking you to send anyone money or what have you, but you can sow a seed of faith. Perhaps it might be that you need to, a certain time at night, stop what you're doing and going to prayer, going to the Word of God. You might have to get up a little bit earlier in the morning and spend some time with God. I'm not an early riser, as many people know me, know that, but I do things at night. And so that's why actually my show is at night, because I would rather do something at night than early in the morning. But if you're the opposite of me and you like getting up early, then get up in the morning and pray. If you're, unlike me and you like to get up in the morning, get up in the morning and pray. But if you're like me and you like to be up at night, then set a time, whether it's 9 p.m., 10 p.m., 11 p.m., and set that time aside and spend it with God. You know, the beginning of 2011, and this is almost the end of 2011, but at the beginning of the year, God gave me a word that I want to share with you, and it was sacrificial prayer. Sacrificial prayer. And what sacrificial prayer entailed was that even when you're going through a difficult time in your life, that you would spend time in prayer even when you don't feel like it. So in other words, even when you do not feel like thanking God, thank Him anyhow. When you don't feel like praising Him, praise Him anyhow. When you don't feel like God has heard you or answered your prayer, still thank Him, because you know that He will answer the prayer, even though you might think in your human frail mind that He's not answering it fast enough. I want you to know, dear friend, that God knows what He's doing. He really does. He knows what He's doing, and He is going to bless you, because your blessing is already on the way. Your blessing is already on the way. I'm going to say it again. Your blessing is already on the way. And I feel like saying it one more time. Your blessing is already on the way. I'm going to say it a little bit louder. Your blessing is already on the way. Your blessing is already on the way. I feel it in my spirit. I know that He is about to do it. I know He's about to answer your prayers. Whatever your prayer request is, the Bible says that if you pray and you don't pray amiss, meaning that when you pray, you're not praying for your own glory, but you're praying for God to bless you so that you could turn around and give Him glory. If that's what you're praying for, because you're praying for Him to bless you in a way that you could turn around and bless others, you could turn around and give God glory, then, dear friend, realize that God has already heard you, and He's already answering your prayer. And once again, your blessing is on the way. I can't emphasize that enough, that your blessing is on the way. Don't allow the enemy to stop you or to block you or to come up with any kind of stronghold in your life that would hinder you from being able to do what God is calling you to do. You know, sometimes the enemy will try to block you, but don't allow that to happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, you might hear me quote this a lot because I love the verse, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. When you put your heart and your mind into serving God, sometimes the enemy will come against you. And the Bible says casting down strongholds. Now, strongholds can mean two things. Stronghold can mean a fortified dwelling. A fortified dwelling, referring to the fact that you build this, you know, for instance, you might have this city, and you fortify that city. You build strongholds around it to make sure that the enemy cannot attack you while you're sleeping and break into your place of residence and take over your city or take over your house or what have you. But the stronghold that is referred to here is any lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, or any thinking that exalts in the mind of an individual and influences him or her to defy the leadership of God in their life. I'm going to say it again. Any thinking that's an individual person thinking and exalting themselves in their mind in such a way that it influences him or her to defy the leadership of God in their lives. So anything that would make you defy the very leadership of God in your life is a stronghold. So I want to encourage you to cast down that stronghold. How can you do that? How can you do that? You do that by praying. You do that by reading the Word of God. You do that by praying. You do that by making it your business to pray without ceasing. You do that by having faith in God. And I want to remind you, dear friend, that faith is not a feeling. It is not a feeling. If it were a feeling, none of us would be Christians. But faith is an act of commitment to God where you have made up in your mind that truly I want to serve God, and I'm going to serve God regardless of what happens around me, regardless of whether I have a job or don't have a job, have a house, don't have a house. My faith in God is not dependent on material things. My faith in God is not dependent on whether I have friends or family around me. My faith in God is dependent on the fact that I have made up in my mind to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I have made up in my mind to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I have made up in my mind to turn away from my sins and to surrender my life completely and wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, after you have done that, you will experience such peace and joy that you will understand that God will supply all those material things that you need, because, of course, God wants us to be able to live in peace and in joy. He wants us to have the material things that we need, but we must never put those material things before God, because God should always be first and foremost in our lives. God bless you, dear friend. Our key verse for all of our Bible lessons is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And also, I like to end with our thoughts for today. Persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can surely achieve. Dear friend, our lesson today was the Ananias and Sapphira thing. And we talked about the fact that Ananias and Sapphira made up their minds to lie to the church. And when they came and sold all their goods and gave only a portion of it, they were actually not lying to the people, but lying to God. And so both of them died on the spot. And my conclusion is not to tell you that you're about to die or anything like that, but my conclusion is to tell you that you must learn to have faith in God, because God is able to supply all your needs. And so if he ever speaks to you, and of course he does each and every day, so I should say when he speaks to you and he directs you to do something, don't hesitate to do it, dear friend. Listen to the voice of God and let him direct you, because what God tells you to do is going to be something good, and it's going to be for your good. And so be encouraged, be strengthened, and each day remember to give God your best. Allow him to help you to understand your purpose on this earth. You're not here by mistake, but you're here for a reason, to give God glory. God bless you, dear friend. Let us pray, and then stay with me for at least one song. Father, we just bless you. We honor you. We lift up your holy name. I pray, Lord God, for each and every one that will hear this broadcast. First and foremost, we thank you for our life, health, and strength. The fact that we're able to even be able to utilize this format to discuss the things of God. We're so grateful to you, Lord, for your mercy. We're so grateful to you, God, for your grace and your truth and your righteousness and how you loved us even before we loved you and how you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Lord, I pray for all those listening to this message. I pray, oh God, that they would be strengthened in their inner man. Lord God, that inside that they would be revived and refreshed. I pray, oh God, for those that are sick, that are listening, Lord God, and for those that are listening on behalf of their loved one that is sick, I pray that even now that you would heal. I speak, Lord God, to those who are deaf, Lord God, that their ears will be opened, oh God, for that one that is having faith for their daughter, faith for their son, faith for their mother or their father, Lord God. Lord, faith for their niece or their nephew or cousin or grandparents, oh God. Lord, I pray for those that are having faith even for their own parents, oh God. Lord, I just thank you right now because you hear and you answer prayers. I thank you right now for healing, Lord God, that one with the blood condition. Whatever that blood condition is, that rare blood condition that the doctors don't understand what it is and they're trying to figure it out. Lord, I pray that you would heal that one right now. Pray for that one that has arthritis in their knees, God, that they would be healed right now. I speak directly to that arthritic knee right now, God, and especially the right leg that is given extra pain right now. Lord, I thank you for that instant healing right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, oh God, for the one that has had some swelling in the gums, Lord God, in below their teeth. Lord God, and I pray that you would heal right now, Father, oh God, that swelling would be reduced in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, for that one that has been having trouble with their eyes. It's constantly blurring. Lord, that you would clear up their eyes right now. Father, I thank you because you're a healer, you're a deliverer. And, oh God, you're healing people of all types of tumors, God, and diseases right now. And, Father, oh God, I thank you that even now there is one that is having faith to believe, oh God, that they're able to walk, that they're able to have use of their limbs again. Father, we bless you for it, and we say thanks, oh God, Lord, for hearing us, for answering our prayers, oh God. I thank you, oh God, for that victorious Christian that is walking in faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, dear friend. I thank you so much for joining me tonight. You've been listening to Evangelist Faith Reed. Listen now to this song by Second Chance Ministries. They are a Caribbean group out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Seek ye first.
Kingdom, search for God, search for God.
Man, you can't find no strength. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ.